This morning we're going to talk about trusting God in times of transition in our lives, and we're going to look at Revelation 22:13. Revelation 22:13. As we focus on lives individually as a church, when we go through times of change in our lives. Now Jesus said in Revelation 22:13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end." He said, "I am the beginning and the end." You know, any way you look at it, life is a series of beginnings and endings. And if we can learn to accept these seasons in our life and move through them, these changes, these times of transition, we will live fruitful lives. We will live productive lives. We will grow and mature in our faith walk with the Lord. If we resist change, it retards our growth in the Lord, and we cannot move forward in Him as He would have us to. And so life is full of beginnings, new starts. There are endings, and then sometimes after an ending, there is a new beginning that we want to talk about today in our lives in transition. Now, transition is a process that moves one from one state of being or stage in life to another. It's a conversion. It's a life event, a transition that should cause a transformation. There ought to be a change that comes about in our life. And so when we start thinking about transitions, we are thinking about, how are you changing me, Lord? How are you transforming me more to be like the image of Jesus Christ? So when Jesus says, "I am the beginning and the end," it's so important in our faith walk, our walk in the Spirit of the Lord, that we yield, we submit, we obey to His working in our lives. We've got to trust God in our lives, that there are those times that He is going to move us from one state of being, one stage of life to another, so that He can fulfill His work and His purpose in our life. So I want you to think about that, all the times in your life that God brings you to a new beginning, all the times that He ends things in your life so that you can start something brand new. Now, we have to learn to discern the working of God and learn to discern the voice of the Lord when He is saying to us, "It's enough of that. I'm ready to move you out of that into this, into where I want you to minister, where I want you to go next in life," as we call it sometimes, a new season or a new stage or another chapter in our life. But it's essential that if we're going to be used by God, that we discern His voice. We know that there's beginnings and there's endings and then there's new beginnings. Now, when you think about it, the whole story of human history in the Bible is a story of beginnings and endings. The Bible opens up, Genesis 1 and 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, He created man," a brand new world. Man was sinless. He was perfect. It was the age of innocence. Male and female, He created them. He placed them in a paradise, a Garden of Eden. But we know that in their rebellion, in their sin and disobedience, that our first parents sinned. And they hid themselves from God. They were ashamed. They were guilt-ridden. But God didn't leave them in that condition. He came to them. He atoned for their sins. And you would have thought, well, it's over. But it wasn't over. They had to leave paradise. They had to leave the Garden of Eden. But it wasn't the end of the human story. No, God blessed them. And God said to them, "Multiply. I'm going to give you children. You're going to start a new world, if you will. And I'm going to be with you in this imperfect world that you are now a part of." You know, in the days of Noah, you could look at the flood as an ending. The Bible says that in his days that men's hearts were filled with wickedness all the time, every inclination of their heart. There was violence and corruption everywhere. But Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He walked with God by faith. And the Lord prepared him, warned the people that a flood is going to come and it's going to destroy the world as we know it. They could have all built arks. They could have believed Noah's preaching. They could have told others, but they chose not to do that. And we know that the flood came and it looked like the end. But God preserved Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. And the scripture says that when they came through that flood, the water subsided, that Noah built an altar. And it was a sign that it's a new day. It's a new start. I love the way that the writer of Hebrews talks about Noah's story in one verse, Hebrews 11 and 7. And it says that by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the Lord, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He condemned the world by doing that work of God in that way. They were condemned because they didn't believe. And the Bible says then that he became the heir of righteousness. And can you imagine Noah and his wife and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth? Can you imagine their wives? They walk out of the ark and they say, wow, I'm the heir of righteousness. The whole world is before me. Well, it was an ending in one sense, but it ushered in a new beginning. And I'm sure that the disciples of Jesus, when they saw him hanging on that cross, they thought that it was the end. It's the end of our hopes that he was the Messiah. It's the end of the kingdom of God that he was preaching to us. It's the end. He died. But on the third day, he rose again. And he come forth victoriously. And he defeated death. He conquered death and the grave for every one of us. And he said, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. And for every one of us, it guarantees us that because he lives, we shall live also. That there is going to be a new beginning for us. It's an eternal start. There is an everlasting covenant of God's love that can never be changed. Because on the third day, he rose again. And what looked like the end with God is always a new beginning. We talk about the end of the age. I'm teaching a series and Wednesday night studies on heaven, and we're talking about those things that are going to come to pass. And we talk about the end of this world as we know it. And the disciples asked that in Matthew 24 and 3. They said, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? What is the sign of the end? And Jesus began to give them those signs of his coming. But you know, he's coming again. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24 says that when he comes, but then the end comes. But it's not the end of all things. It's only the beginning. And when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father and destroys all dominion and authority and power. Yes, there's going to be an end to this sin-cursed world. There's going to be an end to the curse as we know it. There's going to be an end to suffering. There's going to be an end to all of the death and the pain and the sorrow. But there is coming a brand new beginning for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says it's going to be a prelude to a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter 3:13. The home of righteousness. John saw it in Revelation 21. In verse 1 he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of God from heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband, beautifully dressed. And I heard a loud voice from the throne and it said, behold, the dwelling of God is now with men and I will be with their God. They will be with me, and they will be my people, and I will be with them and be their God. And I will wipe away, watch this, every tear from their eyes. And there's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more mourning. For the old order of things has passed away. Then he says in verse 5, and behold, I make all things new. Are you getting a hold of something about God this morning? That what looks like the ending, and it may be for you personally in your life, what looks like an ending, what looks like that something is coming to a close. God is saying, if you'll trust me, if you'll walk with me, if you'll submit to me and the changes and the transitions that I bring into your life, it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning of the end. You know, back in the 70s, there's a lot of preachers, and I think one televangelist I saw, I didn't read the book, wrote a book, the the beginning of the end. But what about the end of the what about the just reversing that? And the end comes and there's a whole new world. There's a whole new beginning for us. It's true in our individual lives. We go through these individual stages. I'm just talking about the natural course of our lives. These transitions we go through. Infancy and toddlers and preschoolers and right on through young adults and senior adults. And I won't belabor the point, but you know, in infancy, there's that crisis of trust versus mistrust. And if a baby is born into a loving family and a secure family, and they're going to learn to trust at an early age. If there's abuse and neglect, they build up this guard, this wall, and sometimes it takes longer in life. And maybe sometimes they never come to that place of trust. And then there's the toddler age, you know, it's that autonomy when they are trying to understand they can do things. I remember the words of Philip when he was a toddler, trying to get out of toddlerhood and in preschool. His famous words, every time we would start to do something for him, he'd say, "I can do it myself." That was about his first sentence, I think. I can hear him. He said it over and again. But right on through to our senior adults. But I want to tell you, regardless of what age you are, regardless of what stage, if you're a toddler or you are an adolescent or you are a senior adult, there's coming another transition. There's coming a final transition. And that is for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we sleep and go to sleep for the last time and we wake up in the presence of the Lord. You talk about a new beginning. You talk about a transition. That's the transition of all transitions. You know, yesterday I preached a funeral over in Hazelhurst. It was an ending. It was to this earthly life. And it was because of their testimony of having received the Lord Jesus the last few months. And some wonderful things came out in that understanding. You know, we have that hope and understanding that they're living again, especially if they've put their faith in Jesus and they're in a relationship with Him. Then last night I went to a beautiful wedding. And I was thinking, wow, there's an ending down here, and then there's a beautiful wedding, a new start. And as they were walking down the aisle, I remember the wedding song that was played back in my day when I got married, the Carpenters. I could hear them singing in my head, "We've only just begun to live." In about 4 or 5 years, they'll be saying, "Now, what song was that?" But we go through these transitions in our life, and Jesus says that when we die in Him, we don't die. It's not the period of our story. It's just a comma. We just relocate, John 11:25. That I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And we understand these transitions in the Lord is just a prelude to what He's going to do next in our life. Speaking of heaven, I heard about the pastor that went to children's church one Sunday morning. He was their special guest preacher that morning, and he wanted to talk to them about heaven. And he said, "How many of you believe in heaven?" And all the kids raised their hands. He said, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" And they all raised their hand except for one little boy. He didn't raise his hand. And he said, "Now, little Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven?" He said, "Oh, yes, sir. I want to go to heaven, but I thought you were getting a group together to go right now." And I can tell, by the way, that some of you are looking, you're not interested in going right now. So we're going to talk about some transitions in the here and now. And Jesus said, "I am the beginning and I am the end." Now let me just talk to you just a minute. That's so important because these transitions are taking place in our spiritual life continually. And I know that I don't like to compartmentalize the natural life and the secular life and the financial life and the spiritual life. If we're a spiritual person in Jesus Christ, everything's spiritual. Can I hear an amen? But there's that time in our lives when we make that transition from death to life. There's that transformation of faith in Jesus that we call the spiritual life. And I'm no longer just the natural man, but I'm the spiritual man that the Lord has created me to be. And to be a Christ follower, to really be a Spirit-filled Christ follower, we need to understand the changes and the transformations and the transitions that are going to happen in our life and embrace them and move through them and submit and obey the will of God in our lives as He moves us through those times. Now, if we don't, we become stagnant, and churches become stagnant when they don't flow with the move of God and transitions that God is bringing to a body as a whole. It's called change. And that's the one word that we resist. I know in my own life, the older I get, the harder it is for me to make changes. We want to keep everything just like it is. And we want things to stay the same. That's just the human nature. We get comfortable with the way things is. But the nature of being alive in Jesus is that we are constantly changing in our life. And it ought to be concern us if things aren't transitioning in our lives. It's not comfortable because we've never been there before. That's why they call it a new beginning. You've never done that before. You've never been that before. It can be frightening. Now, we've got an obvious illustration going on in our church. We're going through a time of transition, aren't we? You know, I'm leaving. I'm transitioning out. Pastor Les is transitioning in. Rinkin's going through a transition. The church I'm going to in Vidalia is going through a transition. You talk about frightening. What do you think about me? I've never been there before, you know, per se. So we talk about these new beginnings, and the reason that we don't like change is because we've never been there before. We've never done that before, and it can be frightening in our lives. And there are times when God is going to bring an end to something in your life and in my life, and you have to learn to let go of that season and move on in to the next season. Now, we miss out on so much of the joy of the opportunity when we don't do that. And I think that that's what I want to get across today in your personal life, that number one, we need to get to that place that we step out of the old and into the new. And then we need to get to that place that we can step out of, step into that new thing that God has for us and step out of the old thing and let that go. Now, remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone is in Jesus, if anyone is in Christ, say it with me, he is a new creation. God is a God who is the creator. Can you imagine God creating this world and the trees never changing, and they never bear fruit, and they just stay just like they are? They never grow. That's not the God we serve. And if anyone is in Christ in your spiritual life, you are a new creation. Old things, say it with me, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, you know I love this verse, and I give it to you a lot, but we see it again. The Bible says, and we all reflect the Lord's glory. That just blows my mind. That me in the old nature, you know, that old sin nature, it just kind of wants to tag along, kind of hold on to our belt loop sometime. You know what I mean? We're saved. We're no longer a lost sinner. We're saved, but that old nature still wants to tag along with us, and some of us let him ride on our back, and others may let him ride on your shoulders, and some of you let him get in your head. But the point is that even in our fallenness, we all reflect the Lord's glory. And he says this, our being, everybody shout being. That's different than stagnation. That's different than staying where you are. We are being transformed. Metamorphosis. We are being changed. He says, into Christ likeness. That's the whole goal. We know that is to be like Jesus, not just change for change's sake, but to be like Jesus so that we can grow more in love with Him and reflect Him more and more to our world and our children and our family, to be useful to Him, be fruitful in every good work. We're being transformed with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. One more scripture, Ephesians 4:22. Three things he says to us here. I want you to put off the old man. That old man I was talking about a while ago, that old sin nature that still wants to tag along. He's talking to Christians here. He said, I want you to put off the old man with all of its corruption and that deceitful desires that you used to have. I want you got to put him off. The second thing he says to do, you've got to be made new. In the spirit of your mind, in the attitude of your mind. Romans 12:2, he says that we are not to be conformed and formed and molded into the pattern of our world, the world system that doesn't know Jesus, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to be made new in our mind. And that then we put on the new self, the new man, the new person that's being created in true righteousness and holiness to be like Jesus. So over and again, we hear the Lord saying to us, you got to put away the old. You got to step into the new. I'm ever conforming you into the image of Jesus. I'm transforming you so that you and I can share in His likeness and reflect His likeness in the moment and the day that we stop changing and we don't step into the new beginnings and end some things in our life, then that's the day that we become ineffective. And we lose our joy. I just wonder this morning, what are some new things today that you need to start in your life? What are some new things that the Lord is doing in your life? What are some old things that He's wanting to put an end to? It could be part of that old nature that we just talked about, or it could just be some things that doesn't work anymore. You know, we hold on to strategies and we hold on to methods. And the Lord says, you know, I bless that. It's not that it wasn't good. It's not that it wasn't right. I blessed it. But I'm doing a new thing. I'm leading you to a freshness in your walk with me. Can you imagine if the industries of our nation had not listened to Henry Ford and they built everything that was manufactured one piece at a time? Instead of accepting the fact that industry is changing, now we're on the assembly line, and we've got to, can you imagine those businesses that would not have done that? How out of the touch of the world they would have been. They would have died. They would have lost their business. And if I can use that as an illustration, so many times we just hold on to things because we don't like to change. It's not comfortable for us, but transformation means change. I was thinking about that old chorus we used to sing, "The power of your love is changing me." I'm so glad it's the power of His love that changes us, aren't you? I'm glad that He doesn't get mad with us and zap us and say, "I'm going to change you." But He loves us, and He gives us that power to change. Everybody say, change. It's an important word. You know, the church I heard about that was going through the building program, and they were putting scriptures all through the new renovations. They were refurbishing this room and that room, and they had a scripture for every room. And they got to the nursery. Guess what scripture they put in the nursery? 1 Corinthians 15:51. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Well, we shall all be changed. I want to lift up just three or four lessons for you. Just bring it all back together, and here they are. Number one, all beginnings have an ending. All beginnings have an ending. And this is the cure for fantasy thinking. You see, fantasy thinking says everything's going to stay the same in my church, in my life, in my world, in my family. And it's not going to stay the same. It's going to change. There's going to be transitions. There's going to be things that we can look forward to and move into. Just your own wedding vows. It's built into your wedding vows that all beginnings have an ending, doesn't it? Don't you remember saying that? "Till death us do part." Your wedding vow had included in there that all beginnings have an ending. That new baby that we get excited when we start to have our family, and we just love to brag on them. We think they're the most beautiful baby that was ever born, and they're just as swollen and wrinkled like all the others. They make honor roll in preschool, and we think they're the next Albert Einstein, and every kid makes honor roll in preschool, you know. But one day, that kid is going to get a set of car keys, and they're going to leave. And many times, parents aren't prepared for that. We still got the umbilical cord. They're 2,000 miles away, and we're still trying to hold on and parent them like they were three again. You'll always love them. You'll always care. You'll always be there for them. You'll never stop loving them as a parent. But you see, you understand, all beginnings have an ending. There comes a time when they say bye. And they don't even act like they're hurt about it. But fantasy thinking says that everything's going to stay the same. And it just keeps us stagnant. But God designs all beginnings to have an end. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. You know this verse. There is a time for everything and a season. A season is a limited time, isn't it? There is a season for every activity under heaven. You know this verse. Time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. A time to build up and a time to tear down. We could go through the whole thing. A time to love and a time to hate. He's talking about beginnings and endings. There's a season for every activity. And when it's over, it's over. Let's say that together. When it's over, it's over. And God says, I want to move you in. You know, here's the thing. It's not that we don't appreciate, that we don't love what God. And it doesn't mean that it was a failure. No. It means that what God was doing in our lives yesterday and the old thing that he was doing, It's to be appreciated. It's to be understood. But there's times in our lives we need to have a funeral over some things, some old methodologies, some old things we've been doing in our life. And God said, you've just been stuck there. You've been resisting change. And that's why you're not having the joy and the effectiveness that you could have in your marriage and in your church work. We just need to have a funeral. You know, I notice now we call them celebrations of life. When I first started this preaching these funerals, they were all headed in my file cabinet, funerals, on my files in my computer. Now, they're all celebrations of life. And I like celebrations of life. And we need to celebrate what God did. But then bury it and move on, learn from it, appreciate it. You know, I've done told Kim that when I die, I know everybody's going to go over to the Life Center or some Life Center somewhere and have a fried chicken dinner. I won't hurt a mourn. I won't hurt a fast and to wear black and wear a veil. How insulting is it that they just buried you and you go to the Life Center and have dinner? But the point is this. The point is this. Some of you are saying, I'm more righteous than that. We had our meal before the service. But the point is this, we need it's a way to say, we mourn with you, now we're moving on with you. You won't ever replace the person that you lost, certainly not. But the Holy Spirit, through the power of what Jesus did for us on the resurrection and in that power of life, he gives to us the hope that there's a new day. And here's the second thing, that all endings or a prelude to a new beginning. All endings. If God is putting a closure in a method, in a ministry, in a cause, in your family life, whatever, in some area of your life, it's just a prelude. And that's the cure for depression. Because there's going to be a new day. You know, there's a wonderful story in the life of Jeremiah, and I want to share it with you. It illustrates this so well in our own lives. And Jeremiah was that weeping prophet. I want to tell you, nobody heard Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I don't think, probably could have got on TBN. I'm serious. Nobody was listening to the guy except for God and just a few. And I'm saying that facetiously, but honestly, he was telling them that God needed to do a new thing, but before he did a new thing, that he was going to have to send the Babylonians in to get that idolatry out of them. They were full of idolatry, and the only thing that would cure them at that point is they had to take that idolatry out of them by taking them off to Babylon. And there had been two waves already. Daniel was a teenager, and they came in, the Babylonians did, and they deported thousands of these young Jewish nobles and officials and blue chippers to Babylon. Then they came in again, and they did another group years later in Ezekiel. But Jeremiah kept saying, but that's not it. That's part of it. But they're going to come back and they're going to level the city. They're going to tear down the walls. They're going to burn it. The temple that we see, one of the seven wonders of the world, the temple, beautiful temple of Solomon, is going to be leveled to the ground. And Zedekiah didn't want to hear that because all the false prophets were saying, no, it's not. It's prosperity and peace, man. It's going to be, don't listen to this guy. And Zedekiah has him put in prison. And you pick up the story in Jeremiah 32, and Jeremiah is sitting in prison for preaching the truth and telling him what God was saying. And that's when God came to Jeremiah and he spoke to him. He said, Jeremiah, your cousin is going to come to you, and he's going to offer you to buy, for you to buy a piece of property. You are the kinsman redeemer. He's going to sell it. You're first in line. Here you are in prison, and I want you to buy it. And I can imagine if I was Jeremiah, but Lord, I've been telling everybody that the Babylonians are coming. They're going to level this place. They're going to overcome us. They're going to occupy our land. I've been telling that. The Lord says to Jeremiah, it's a sign of hope. It's a seal that a new day's coming. And sure enough, his cousin came to him in prison. And he offered the piece of property. And Jeremiah knew then for sure that that was the Lord speaking to his heart and mind. And he bought it and he signed it and he put a seal on it, a deed. And he put it in a jar and he buried it in that land. And he was saying to all of Israel, yes, devastation is coming and there is going to be an occupation of a foreign power over our land. But God is saying in 70 years, I'm going to bring you back to this land. I've got that idolatry. And I want to tell you, folks, when Israel went to Babylon, when they came back, it got the idolatry out of them. He said, I'm bringing you to a new land, to a new place. Hallelujah. And that's where we get that verse in Jeremiah 33:3. It's all in the context. Call to me, God says, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. I don't know where you are in your life, but God is saying to you, if you will just understand that that ending is only a prelude to a new beginning, I'll work great and mighty things out in your life that you cannot fathom. Jeremiah 29:11. We know it. It's all in that context. I'm going to bring you back, God said, for I know the plans I have for you. And there are plans of peace, not to harm you, but there are plans to give you a hope and a future in your life. And God is saying, hope and expect and trust. Let me encourage you today. You may be in a season that things are changing rapidly, and there's some things that just keep trusting, just keep holding on to God's promises. Hold it up as a sign of hope that God is making all things new and move forward in that transformation. Well, all beginnings have an end. That's the cure for fantasy, that everything's going to stay the same. All endings are a prelude to a new beginning. That's the fantasy. I mean, that's the cure for depression, so that we'll awaken to a new hope and a future of expectancy of what God is doing. And just a couple of other things, just very briefly. The third thing is that transition changes come natural to us, and then they come by choice. And you know, the natural transitions we have no power over. You know, we have no power when we're born. We have no power when we die. But we do have power on what happens in between, don't we? Do we not? And we need to celebrate that life that God gives to us. His life is a gift to us, and what we do with that life is a gift back to Him. It's our worship back to Him. And there's some transitions we have no power of, but we know Romans 8:28, that in all these things, God is at work in the lives of those that love Him. But here are the things, or here's the thing, when we have that choice in our life, because other transitions come by choice. And there are two choices, and I want you to see them on the screen. Two choices. And here's the first one. What do I need to choose to begin today in my life? What do I need to choose right now? Maybe it's to get involved in the ministry in this local church. You need to choose that, or Maybe it's to tithe and be faithful in the tithe. Maybe you need to choose to love and honor that spouse that God blessed you with. I don't know. But you see, it's a choice that you and I make to make that transition in our life by His grace, through faith and trust in Him. And then second of all, what do I need to end in my life today? What choice do I have to end something in my life that I need to end? It may be an addiction. It may be nothing necessarily that's awful, but there's something more effective that God wants to do in your life. What do you need to end in your life? I love that story of the prodigal son, because he took his father's inheritance, he wasted it, and he was out there living it up, so to speak, at least he thought he was, and he spent it all out. Ended up, you know the story, as a Jew, he's there feeding pigs. The worst thing that a Jewish person could do was to feed swine. And he's so hungry that he's joining in, taking the pig's food to just stay alive. And here's the thing. The scripture says, when he came to his senses. Sometimes we just need to come to our senses and say, this is enough of that. I'm changing. I'm choosing to walk out of those things that are destroying me, my family, my relationships are holding me back. He came to his senses. He said, I'm going home, and you and I can too. We can go back to the Father. And it was like it was brand new. The Father, he had the fatted calf. He had the robe. He had the music playing. It was a new day. You know, sometimes everybody's coming by and telling us, and they're praying for us, and, you know, that's good, and that's wonderful, and they're telling us how we need to change, and we come to the church, and it's like the pastor's always preaching on the very thing that we've got going on in our lives, and sometimes all we need to do is just come to our senses. Everybody else is in their right mind, right? And we just need to come to our senses and say, this is enough of that. And I'm going to make that change. I'm going to make that choice to change in my life. As you stand with me, I want you to look at the last one, because Jesus said, I am the beginning and the end. Say that with me. Say it with me. I am the beginning and the end. Say it again. I am the beginning and the end. You know what's beautiful? Is that the one constant thing is that God never changes. He is faithful. You can put your trust and your faith in Him. You know, He says His mercies are new. Y'all remember reading that in Lamentations 3:23? Say it with me. Your mercies are new every morning. New. The old is past. Aren't you glad of that? New every morning. Then He says, great is your faithfulness. When you and I get ready to make that change that we need to make in our life, when God has taken us from one season to another and transitioning in our lives, I am so glad that He is the beginning and the end. That He's there for every new beginning. And when I feel so frightened, He is there saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can have courage. When I need to end some things in my life, He says, I'm there, I'm the end. I don't change. I'm constant. Your life transitions, but I'm here. Can't improve on perfection, can you? I'm here to let you know that you can count on my promises, that I'm working it out, that I'm going before you, that I've already done that. I'm going to ask you to bow with me for prayer. I don't know what you may be going through in your life, and if there's a transition going on, or maybe sometimes we just get resistant in our lives, God is saying, I want you to understand the new thing that I want to do in your life. We talk about being Spirit-filled. That transformation in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is by the Spirit of the Lord. And if we really want to be Spirit-filled, if we really want to be a Spirit-filled church, We understand that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. It's good for a time. That law was a school teacher, and Paul said it was holy and it was righteous and it was true and it was good. But the Messiah is here that it pointed you to, who fulfilled the law and the prophets. And a new day's coming, and you can't put new wine into old wineskin, because it'll burst that old wineskin and both will be ruined. But you put new wine into new wineskins. And it's true in our own lives. Sometimes it's not that what was going on was wrong or bad or a failure. No, it led us to this point. And now God's ready to take us to the next step, the next stage, the next chapter, the next season. That's fruitful and productive. Oh, it's going to be an overflow of His Spirit and power and grace in your life. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank You that You are the beginning and the end. I'm so thankful that You are with us always, even to the end of this age. So thankful that You never leave us nor forsake us. You're our beginning and You're our end. You're there for us. Father, as You move us out of some things that we need to step into this morning, some ministries, some new ways of being effective for You, or step out of some things that's, Lord, that's not pleasing to You, or maybe is ineffective in our lives. Lord, help us. Help us to know that You're the God who transforms us to be like Jesus, to be filled with the Spirit, to be full of joy, peace. And I pray, God, this morning that over this congregation that would be the case. In Jesus' name, with your heads bowed, no one looking around. How many of you would say, Pastor, I know in my own heart that there's some things, there's some beginnings, there's a beginning that the Lord is moving me into, and it's maybe a new beginning, and I need to step into that this morning. Would you raise your hand as the Holy Spirit spoke to you today? God bless your heart. Yes, see several hands. How many of you would say, Pastor, I believe with all of my heart that there's some things God wants me to end that I need to step out of by His grace and power? Raise your hand. Enough of that. Anybody? God bless you. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this place that You're working with even now. I pray in the name of the Lord that You would strengthen and encourage them, Lord, as they step into that new place, as they step out of that old place. Lord, bless and touch and strengthen and encourage today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Would you lift your hands and give Him praise and give Him honor just all over the building from front to back? Lord, we thank You and praise You and bless You. And we give You the glory, we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Sing this chorus. Sing it in praise. Lift your hands all over the building.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. We'll say it again. Through it all,
one more time. One more time. Let's sing it to Him.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Yeah.
going to ask you to do one final thing, and as many of you that can as a church body, I'm going to ask you to come and just stand in the front. We're going through a transition. You say, well, it's not going to be that much of a transition. Well, maybe not for you, but it's going to be a transition nonetheless. It's going to be a transition from my ministry and being the lead pastor to Pastor Les. It's a new beginning. It's a new day coming. And you've expressed how much you love me and how much you appreciate me, and I appreciate that. And I don't mean to come across as being stoic today. Shoot, I've cried more than all of you. It's okay. That's good. That's okay. But when you're led by God, as this church is being led, and when you're stepping into a new arena, you don't have to be afraid. It's only going to get better. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's only going to get better. It's going to be a transition for that church over there. It's going to be a transition for this church. Yes, it will. It'll be a transition. It's a smooth transition. But it's going to be a transition. But God said, I don't want you to be afraid of that transition. I want you to celebrate the transitions. I want you to celebrate the beginning and the end and the new beginning that I'm doing in your life. And as a church body, as we come together, I'm going to ask the praise team to sing it again through it all. I'm going to ask you to come. We're just going to pray for each other and believe that God's greatest blessing is going to be bestowed. Let's sing it as you come.
Through it all.
Come in close if you would. One more time with your hands lifted. Your heart's open to the Lord. Let's trust Him today. Going to ask you to join somebody's hand. You don't have to join, make a human chain if you don't want to, but join at least somebody's hand or lay your hand on their shoulder. Let's just pray for one another. Thank God for this church. Thank God for the place that He's brought us from, all the wonderful blessings that God has had upon and bestowed on this church since 1961, way, way before anybody sitting here this morning, I think, or standing here. I thank God for every new beginning and every transition and every ending and every beginning from that. We're going to trust God. I'm telling you, He's designed endings. He is the God who is the beginning and the end. Praise God. He says, I give you a new heart. I give you a new song. I'll write on you a new name. God is a God of new things. I make all things new. Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, as we come together as a church family today, as we come together as the body of Christ today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that we would embrace the transition that you are bringing to this church, to this body of believers. I pray that we, Lord, would move through it, that we would discern your voice, that Father, as we move through it, we would move through with faith, that we would clearly hear what you're saying, and that as you've told us, let the church hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I'm praying, Father, that Rincon would continually hear the Spirit of God. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that this whole area, this whole geographical area, and all the people under it are going to come under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm praying that they're going to see the power and the move of the Holy Spirit and the love of God and the transformation in lives like they've never seen. And Rincon Church of God is going to be right in the middle of it, leading the way. I pray that you would encourage. I pray that you would strengthen. I pray that we would, just like Jeremiah, I pray that we would expect, God, that you are going to fulfill every promise. You're going to fulfill your word. You are going to do your work that you promised. Lord, again, we thank you for every blessing. We thank you for where this church is and where you've brought us from and all that you've done for us. Now, Lord, we look to what's ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We look to what's ahead, Lord, before you come again. And we praise you. We thank you for that. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Could you just clap unto the Lord with me? Let's give the Lord a celebration of praise today. Let's give him a celebration of praise. Amen. And praise the Lord. Well, I got one more Sunday with you. And next Sunday morning will be my last Sunday morning. God bless you. I love you. And you've been so kind to us. My goodness, you just don't know how kind and how your kindness has ministered to us, Kim and I. Thank you so very much. Love you. Love somebody with the love of the Lord before you go. God bless you is our prayer.